Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
All right, I think I just came in. Louis Rabeau does the show here before, made an interesting point. He said, well, if nothing else, last night served as a country to unite us, because everybody looked at it and thought, what the truck was that? So... we'll,
and we're not talking about the second round of the NBA
draft. No, although some people even said that about that. But okay. You know, so it's got people ornery. So I thought I'd start with a little bit of a cruel opening here on Fast Break Friday, presented by AL8, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926. Athletes especially are notorious for giving wildly cruel and inappropriate nicknames.
Right.
Like a friend of mine, Rob, if you're listening, great story yesterday. He was working with a guy on the job who got pretty relatively seriously hurt in the arm. It wasn't permanent, but it was a serious injury, so he had to come to work with his arm in a
sling
and a cast. And so, of course, normal people might say, hey, how you doing? Okay? You feeling all right? No. Surrounded by a bunch of ex-jocks, and so when he came in, they said, hey, you know, it's a beautiful day out there. You know, it just, if you're happy and you know it, sorry, Tom, you can't do that. So his nickname became Happy, of course.
Right.
You know, our friend, I think I could say this on the air, I hope so, he was born with a big birthmark on his face.
Oh, yeah.
In Pennsylvania. My friend Joe Cantafio used to be the head coach at Furman. And so his nickname was... faccia di cacca, which is in Italian for face of
spit.
Cacca. Yeah. And then the great thing is they shortened it to Foch. Hey, Foch. There was a guy in my brother's neighborhood when they were little, overweight, you know, talk about fat shaming and everything. Don't worry about that when you're in a neighborhood. His name was Anthony Gioia. He was overweight. His name to the neighborhood was Fat. That's it, Fat. They would go to the house and ring the bell and ask his mother if she answered, is Fat at home?
Fat Gioia.
To the mother. Asking, yeah, is Fat here? Hey, can Fat come out? We're going to play a little stickball. Hey, Fat, you in there?
That's Terrence Edwards' nickname, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
so he's not really fat.
I know. Oh,
he was as a baby. Yeah.
When I got to like see him for the first time and call him that, I was like, this is weird. Like, you're pretty skinny. Like,
well, the difference is Fat Gioia was really... Well, Jamie, who God bless him, has hardly any body fat on him. His nickname is Chubbs, because when he was a baby, he was chubby.
No joke. That was my nickname. My dad called me that growing up.
Yeah. See, and you're skinny as a rail, too. So man, you guys,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So yours were skinny. The guy was from... I would leave the first nickname out, but the second one's okay.
What's the first one?
The Middle Eastern guy.
Oh. No, you could say it.
All right. Well, go ahead and then send the hate mail to him.
We had a guy who... had started a hockey league, and he made the nicknames for all the players. There was one guy who was small, and was a defenseman, and kind of looked like him, to be honest with you. Blonde hair, round face, was a great defenseman, but was small and took little quick strides, and so we called him Barney because he looked like Barney Rubble out there skating. There's another guy that was a terrific hockey player, Division I hockey player, actually, but got kind of... chubby, And so he called him Happy.
Short for
Happy Meal.
I should have called him Mac from McDonald's.
And then this is the one that's wildly inappropriate.
Sure.
But there was one player who just looked Middle Eastern.
Right.
So naturally he called him ISIS.
Of course. Because everybody from the Middle East is
ISIS. Yeah. So there you go. So.
All right. So with that, let's jump in. Normally, let me give a caveat here. I choose my words very carefully because I'm lazy. I don't want to have to deal with all the people writing me doing the ats. So I try to give a disclaimer up front. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying this. So don't hear this statement and attribute these other traits to it because I'm not saying those things. I'm not going to do that. I don't have the energy. So, and I'm not going to read the text because I know better. Anytime you bring up certain topics, and this is one of those, it's just going to be painful. So I have to tell you, last night's debate was wildly depressing. If that's – neither of those guys deserve to be the heads of our country for vastly different reasons, but they – neither of them deserve to be the leaders of our country. And the thing that I'm struck by is I'm trying to figure out how we got here. This is just a non-politico's observation, okay? So I'm not an inside baseball guy with politics, and as I said, I'm not going to really couch all my, try and give my comments because inevitably the cultists, and there are Trump supporters that behave like cultists, and normally I would
not do all of them, but right, I know.
I would do a big disclaimer saying that, oh, you know, I'm not saying everybody who feels this is a cultist or anything. So that would be, you know, Nick right away jumped in because he was like, he had the antenna up. So understand, I'm not going to, every time I say something, going to give the disqualification, the attempted diversion from the ats at me. So I'm just saying. So understand that. But again, I don't want to sound like I'm painting with a particularly wide brush, because I'm not intending to. But that's the only disclaimer I'll give. Then I'm just going to say what I want to say. I've read books on cult behavior, and there's a lot of traits that are disturbing about that. And I'm not going to get into that as I said. But what I will say is I'm trying to figure out how we could have gotten where we are, given the fact that last night, one guy for the people and I trust, objectively, pointing out all the inaccuracies that both sides were giving. Trump's lies were much more grandiose and dangerous if you look at the things he was lying about. Biden lied about stuff, too. He claimed an endorsement from a union that he doesn't really have. There's several, both sides were playing free and easy with facts, but Trump's are scary, in my opinion. So, but here's the thing. Why does he... And again, from the people who document these things, it's like 14,000 documented lies that they have the receipts for, as they like to say. Okay, and it's not a left-wing organization. I mean, that's what I wanted to bring. I'm intrigued by the fact that I have always, all my life, I've been a registered independent. I'm not registered with either party. But the right tends to think I'm like a diehard liberal because that is one of the traits of cultists. If you're not for us, by definition...
You're against this.
Right. That's not true. But, and it's not everybody. And I'm not against the Republicans. In fact, there's a lot of things that the traditional Republican platform stood for that I like. I really do. But I make no bones about the fact that I just cannot stand Donald Trump as a person. And so, in my mind, it's easy for me to see why. Whenever he talks, I'm like, all right, let's try and be open-minded here. And then he starts talking. I'm like, I can't. I can't possibly respect him as a person. Okay, so what is it about him that makes it so that he can espouse lies like this that are so much more grandiose than other politicos? And here's what I really think it is. Again, un-inside baseball take on it. And here's why I say this. By everybody who knows him, and I don't know. I haven't traveled with Trump. I haven't traveled with Biden. I didn't travel with Reagan. I haven't traveled with presidents. But by most of the people in the inner circle, they say he doesn't have much interest in really reading. He doesn't read briefs, and he doesn't educate himself on the topics the way you'd like a president to. So what happens is, if you know his personality, and I do from New York before he even got in politics, he likes people who he surrounds himself with, people who tell him good things about himself.
Right.
So whenever somebody comes to him with a good thing, he assumes it's fact. He doesn't bother to say, what was the source? Where'd you get that from? Oh, oh great. I did this. I put a man on the moon. Fabulous. That's
positive. Must be true.
Yeah. And I understand that nobody wants to have bad things happen during their term. He didn't have anything to do with COVID, but it happened during his term. And he was so angry about that, he started going wildly off about things that were just, kind of illogical in most people's minds. But having said that, so I asked one.
Injecting bleach.
But you know
that
what?
That was a real thing.
But I will tell you the truth. See, that's a lie. He didn't really say that. He didn't advocate people doing that. He stood in the front because he wanted to look like he was on top of it. And he said, there's other alternatives that are out there yet we don't even know about, like maybe putting light in and bleach. And there's been no credible research that is being done that's a viable thing to go forward. But he didn't say what you need to do is go home and inject
that's
bleach.
Fair. That's fair.
He didn't say that.
So, I was fake newsing.
Yeah, no, but that's what happened. And I'm glad you brought that up, because what happens is he has done so many egregious things that the people who don't like him so willingly accept that because it's a thing he might have said, even though he didn't say it. You accept it because you think he's such a disagreeable person. Well, he probably said that because that's the kind of thing he'd say. A perfect example, a very sensitive issue. When they were down at Charlottesville, he didn't really say there's good people on both sides. He said, of course, you got to condemn the whatever the term was, the neo-Nazis. And he did say that. He condemned them. But he was talking about the people that felt about the statue the way they felt.
Right, right.
There were good people on both sides. But instead, people took it as, well, it's a dog whistle for the neo-Nazis to come out. And that's not exactly what he said. But it's something that you believe he could say.
Right.
Because you find so disagreeable so many of the other things he said. So that's how that has evolved. Biden is a byproduct of where we are with our political system now. He is a guy that even the people on the other side of the aisle, before Lindsey Graham became Donald Trump's lapdog, he is on record as having said what a fine man he thought. He worked with Biden in the Senate, and he thought he was a really quality human being. We had some dealings with him at the V Foundation when he was vice president. He has a real passion about cancer research. He's a quality guy. Having said that, Trump got elected because it was the hatred of Hillary Clinton.
No, that was a major factor.
Biden got elected.
The
hatred of Trump. And so now he's there for a second go-round, and now we can't stand either one of them. Because one guy isn't fit to be in office. There's this idea that somehow he's got 34 felony convictions, and it's all because everything was skewed against him. If you believe he's as wealthy as he says he is, you would think he could get the best lawyers in the country. So how did he get railroaded then? That seems the judge did it. I don't know. Isn't there a jury trial? I mean, the whole thing says it just sounds like, again, it feeds to that element of the supporters that'll believe anything he says. That, I didn't have sex with the porn queen. I don't know. You buying that? I just, again, maybe I'm being unfair because maybe it's something we think he'd do.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. But my point is, every time we get an election, if that's how we're going to vote, how sad are we? We're going to vote not because we really want this person in office, but we don't want the other person in office.
Right.
Don't let Hillary win. Don't let Trump win the first time. Now we're in a quandary because we don't want either one of these SOBs. And I call them SOBs. They're presidents. You should have some respect, but it's hard to because, honestly, I loved, like all baseball fans, I loved Willie Mays. But there came a time where he couldn't play center field anymore. It was time to reconcile yourself to the fact that, dude, you can't play center field anymore. I don't believe last night just because Joe Biden has a cold or because I believe every other president in my lifetime. I think I said this, if I'm repeating myself, forgive me. Every other president in my lifetime at the end of their first term has looked 10 to 15 years older than they were when they took office.
Yeah, when you're the leader of the free world.
I imagine the stress of the job has to be overwhelming. Well, when you get the job when you're, 80? Now he looks like he's 100. Yeah. And that's not really what you need out of that office. You don't. So he looks old and feeble, and the other guy looks completely non-trustworthy. And now there's nobody you can vote against because they both are not, neither, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, that's why you're allowed to vote. I'm sure I'm not reading the text, because I guarantee you the ardent Trump supporter is already unloading with both barrels at me, which is fine. Because, again, either you're for us or you're against us. And I'm not for him. But as you can tell by my comments, I'm not for anybody because this is a train wreck. It really is. They are two guys that aren't worthy of the office for vastly different reasons. But neither of them are worthy of it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. But here's the catch.
Why is the...
Why? You know what the part of the problem is? If you are a bright... Could you look this up real fast? Well, you know, it used to pay $200,000. I'm sure it pays more than that now, but I don't know what it pays. What does the presidency pay?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was 200K.
Is it still 200K?
Yeah, well, let me see. What does... How ironic would that be if, because of the inflation with Biden, he gets paid more? What does the president get paid?
What do you got?
Compensation paid. Of the president. Oh, God.
Isn't it like 400K?
Is it 400 now?
I thought it was
200 when I was a kid. It can't still be 200.
Yeah. I thought it was like 400.
Okay. This is as of October 30th, 2023.
Okay.
It, of course, is not telling me. Okay, here we go. The president's salary currently sits at $400,000.
$400,000, that's what you said. Okay. Now, I don't mean to be rude. It's a lot of money. I'd like to make $400,000. But the fact of the matter is, if you're a bright person, a bright man or woman, and, you know, fairly attractive, because it's going to be hard to win if you look like a pusswort, you know, and you've got real drive and determination, why would you want this job? I mean, there are going to be people that you know are going to want to kill you.
At least half the country hates you.
And not only that, did you see the deal? They're talking about trying to sign Paul George. The Clippers want to re-sign Paul George. I believe they're allowed to, by the NBA guidelines, sign him to a three-year deal for $211 million.
Not bad.
Woo.
I think that's what the deal is.
No, my coworker, he has like a 7-year-old, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to put him in the NFL one day. And then, like, we saw Scotty Barnes' contract, and I was like, let's make him a 3-and-D guy, you know, just plays the wing, like, doesn't have to play too many minutes, like 15 points a game. He's set for life. And he's like, I like that move a lot more.
Well, go ahead. Let me know how that works out for you. Give me a call in 15 years when your kid is eighth man on the Walden squad team. No disrespect to Walden. I'll get texts from him. Why would you do it? And no disrespect, it's a basketball player. This is supposed to be one of the most important jobs in the world. I understand you're paid what somebody thinks you're worth. I've always said that, and I don't begrudge anybody your money. You know why they pay him that? Because that's what he's worth. They're making that much money. The franchises and the team and the league, they're rolling in it. Baseball's rolling in it. So you pay the players. Fine. Not a problem. But why would you choose to take this job? So one of two things happens. Either you get into it and you have to be a grifter because you're not going to live on – I mean, I don't – again, I feel bad. I've only met him once, and he's a polarizing figure too. But Mitch McConnell seems wildly wealthy for a guy to have lived on a senator's salary for all those years. I mean, so I don't – my point is, I'm just using him as an example. They're making money somewhere. And I don't begrudge them. I do this, but I also do a bunch of other things. Nobody says they shouldn't be allowed to do other things as long as it doesn't compromise their position in government. But my point is, one of two things is going to happen. If, let's say all of a sudden they decide to pay the president $5 million a year. If you think that people are in politics now – to wet their beak, God knows who's going to get into it then. I mean, they're going to be people who couldn't give a rat's ass about doing anything of a statesman's position. They are just going to be, let me feed it that. You might have the entire NCAA apply for the job because, I mean, that is. So, and if you don't do that, then you still get what you're getting now, which is people that the real people of promise. Why would you want to get into that? You have to be so wildly altruistic. And God bless, there are some people out there like that. But, I mean, we're not getting the creme de la creme. And I'll tell you what else. And this is funny. But what the answer is this. I think Trump says he's about a 2 handicap. Biden said he's a 6.
A 6 or an 8. I can't remember.
Whatever. Let's say for the sake of argument he says a 6. Then let them go play 18 holes. Have Trump give Biden 2 aside and leave us out of it. Then when it's over, they can fight in the bar and talk about their golf games. That was the most passionate they were all night. About their golf games. I mean, there was a time when even the presidents were honest about that. Richard Nixon, who certainly was not the most virtuous of presidents, didn't lie about his golf game. He was like an 18 handicap, and he knew it, and he told people that, and all he had to do was look at his swing. I mean, it's just there's nothing about anything that went on last night that made you walk away and feel inspired about the country. I don't know. You know, the NCAA is undergoing a massive overhaul because the model was obsolete. Maybe the two-party system is obsolete.
Oh, my God. Because, it's been obsolete for forever.
I mean, I lived around the world, and you can dislike the hell out of the other part. But if you don't learn to work with them, the country literally gets nothing done. Like when I was in Sweden, I think there were 7 political parties. And you know, some of them are almost too much single issue, but that's okay. They had a place at the table. You've got to be able to work together. Here, there's no interest in that at all. It's just about, winning. It's just about winning, and that's all that matters. And then after that, you figure it all out. It's just the stuff the people saying, like I said to me, well, what was the lies about? Off the top of my head, I know there's I just told you the one about Biden lying about the union support. Trump lied about the insulin thing. If you don't know the difference, Trump helped devise a $35 voluntary fee for insulin. It only impacted a few thousand people, to be honest with you, and it was voluntary, so the drug companies could get out of it at any time. Biden put it in as a legislative piece, capped it at $35, and it was for everybody who was on, I think, Medicare. And I mean, so to say that, well, he did the same thing I did, he didn't do the same, that's a lie. I mean, that's just a blatant lie. The idea, the thing I don't like about the lies are that, because they really offend some people, like the guy who's in charge of the Washington, D.C. police, when Trump came out and said, oh, the police were escorting our protesters in. The guy who was the head said, you got to be kidding me. They were beating the crap out of our people. Nobody was escorting them in. He said, I offered National Guard to Nancy Pelosi, and she turned it down. He didn't, because he wasn't authorized to do that. Minnesota, after George Floyd,
yeah,
he said, I sent the National Guard in, and I saved that state. He didn't do that. The governor did that in Minnesota. He's the only one who was authorized to do it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's my point. Now, that one is kind of a factual thing. But the other one, like, if you're the police chief in D.C., I'd be pissed off, you know, that might people getting a crap kicked out of them, and you're making it sound like they were aiding and abetting these people.
Right.
So, and the same thing with the union guy that Biden said he endorsed. The guy came and said, we didn't endorse him. It's very...
A little malarkey, as Biden would say.
Offensive that they play so free and easy with other people's integrity. And that bugs me. So, but it was a terrible night. It was a terrible... If you're an American, it was a terrible night. And it's not because... You know, my guy didn't win. I don't have a guy other than I. Well, okay, fair enough. You want to say, well, yes, you do, because you dislike Trump so much. I do. I don't think a very decent human being. And so it's hard for me. So that's what I usually vote for. I'll give a perfect example. George Bush got a lot of crap. And there are people now, I'll get texts, hated him. I thought he was a really good guy. I really do. And it's not because he threw a good strike at the first pitch of the Yankee game. I think he had a sense of decency about him. And did he do some bad things? All presidents make some mistakes. And so make some mistakes. He got our boys in a war and cost lives. I'm not minimizing any of that. But what I'm saying is my track record is I like people. And then, you know, the issues as they come along, I figure out on an individual basis. I agree with them on this. I may not agree with them. There's nobody I've ever seen who I agree with them on every policy they've got. That's the guy I want, because every single thing that comes out, peanut butter and jelly or cream cheese and jelly. I like that guy. He liked cream cheese and jelly.
Right.
He's an out-of-the-box thinker. You know, I mean, so, but the one guy I don't think is a good guy, and the other guy is Willie Mays in the 1973 Mets, thrown up in the outfield. He's just... He has had a wonderful career in politics, but it has passed him by. It has just...
Patton Oswalt does a great bit about that.
About what?
About how no matter what you like about your president and, you know, what their major stance is, they're going to do something that make you go, oh, dear God.
No, of course.
And he said that like W, faith, religion, basing it on that. Okay, cool. We're torturing people. He's like, eh... It's like, I guess that's biblical in an Old Testament sort of way. Obama comes in. Science, science, science. Progressive. Okay, great. Awesome. We're using predator drones to bomb civilians. Hey, that's sort of...
Yeah, I mean, I get it. He's right about that.
It's a science in a Skynet
but
sort of way.
I think Obama is a man of great integrity. I think W was a man of great integrity. I really do. And I think that...
I get a beer with both of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that... The one guy is not a man of any integrity, and I think Biden is a man whose prime has passed. I do think he is a guy that had integrity and has had a long and distinguished career. It's kind of like George W.'s father. I mean, you take a look at the elder George Bush's resume. Dear God, he's held every position in the country. But if you look at what politics has devolved into right now, it's not about actually getting anything done. It's about winning and figuring out how you can jerry-rig the system. What's going on with the judges is amazing to me. I told you on this program before, I'm so naive. I believe every policeman really just wanted good things. I believe judges were just trying to be what they were supposed to be, which was, you know, like William Howard Taft was the president and went on to be a judge because he really thought that was the only position that actually mattered more than the presidency. Think about that, because it was you were supposed to really just be objective and hear the case. Now they figure out how can we load the court so that we can get our agenda across. And those, you know, I mean, and you just see story after story of people that are in there without really trying to do an objective job. They're kowtowing to a point of view, and that's not really what they're supposed to do. I mean, if you're a referee in basketball, you may love. I'm making a silly analogy. A three-point. You love the three-point shot. That's great. So you're calling a game where anytime anybody goes inside the three-point circle, they call travel. No, I want you to stay out there and shoot that shot. We think that guy's crazy. But that's what we're doing with our Supreme Court justices right now. Isn't that nutty? It's just, it's a very depressing time. And I cannot believe that, you know, more isn't made of what went on, you know, on the 6th of January. That literally may be, well, it is, not maybe. I'm 67 years old. Shouldn't say that on the radio because now they're going to come stumble with the furniture out of my office. It's never been anything remotely as threatening to our democracy as that. And, you know, and again, here's a beautiful, sorry, that element of the Trump supporters. All presidents do things that you say, boy, I think they should have handled that differently. I think he certainly could have handled that differently. But when they try and convince you, oh, no, he was trying to calm them down. At 3:13 in the afternoon, he sent a tweet out that said, now stop and behave. By then, they were already ready to burn it like you know, Sherman to Atlanta. I mean, they were just ready to torch it to the ground. And he only did that if you read the inside people, because people were begging him. You got to say something. This is crazy. It's just, I don't understand how there can be that kind of loyalty to a guy who's, I mean, if you're up, honestly, ask yourself a question. If you could have taken that day and somebody could have gotten through and killed the Vice President Pence, but it meant that Trump would have kept office, do you think he'd have said, where's that contract I signed? Honestly, be honest with yourself. What do you think he'd do?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
You know, it's hard for me to believe you wouldn't. It's hard. It's very hard for me. So there you go. I'm not reading texts because they're flying in like a ticker tape. So I'm not answering your questions. So then don't interrogate. Oh, yeah, what about this? The whataboutisms and the this. Not interested. I had a hard time going to sleep last night. It was so disturbing.
Well, here's something.
It was so disturbing. You had, as somebody, there were so many tweets that I think summed it up. You know, you had the choice between a energetic, confident guy who told lie after lie and a feeble. Oh, did you see Kenny Mayne's tweet?
No, what was that? Oh, I love Kenny Mayne.
Kenny Mayne's was funny. I'll see if I can find it for you. It was. I don't have my regular phone today, folks. I apologize. I think I was so disturbed today when I left the house. Somebody said, you're always disturbed. Hey, how you doing?
I'm kind of bummed you didn't bring Vito to work today.
Yes, I am. I'm mad about
that. I should have texted
you.
Well,
I didn't know. Why would I know?
No, I know. I'm sorry. Like Tanner told me about it, and I forgot to pass it along to you. It's bring your vet to work day.
Are you logged into Twitter right now?
It can be.
Go to Kenny Mayne and then find it, and it'll be one of the first ones, I think. Because I don't know if I can log in on this phone because I don't usually use this phone, so I don't think I've got a password set up on this phone. But it's kind of sums up. It's funny, but it also sums up what I think about the whole thing.
Is it the State of the Union?
No, it's
is it? No. That's what I'm saying. This tweet.
I don't know. I got to read it. Yeah, I have to clean it up because it's got a little...
Yeah, some potty language.
State of the Union. Trump was masterful in his ability to lie unchecked. He's a first ballot Liars Hall of Fame candidate. His sentencing is July 11th. His other alleged crimes are not yet settled. Joe Biden, on the other hand, is your gramps who trucks up your cable remote device every time he visits. He would be a very good... He would not be a very good horse race announcer. But again, you know what Kenny's lies, he said. But unlike Trump, he really does have good people around him. And another thing, he's not Trump. So you know where he was. But the first two parts of that are hilarious.
He trucks up here.
He would not be a very good horse race announcer. Now, somebody should do an AI of Biden announcing the horse race.
Oh, my God. That could be
and
hilarious.
They come down the stretch. Who won? I don't think he knows who won.
Oh, God. There's a guy. He does. He uses AI voice things. But it's the presidents do like tier lists of like they'll break down like what the best Thanksgiving food is.
Okay.
And they'll do, you know, the S tier, A tier, B tier. And it's a game chat and it's Obama, Trump and Biden. And they usually have some other, you know,
it's created with AI.
Yeah, with AI. But he writes the script and he does a really good job. Like Obama's kind of the straight guy, the straight man. But Trump and Biden are constantly needling each other, and Trump is kind of constantly screaming at both of them, and Biden is constantly trailing off, getting distracted by stuff. It's really, really,
find it.
It's very, very funny. But he does it like they're all like three friends that are, you know, just digging on one another, and like in a game chat, and other people will join in. Like Bill Clinton made an appearance, W made an appearance. Ben Shapiro made an appearance. Like it's pretty funny, and I like it because he makes fun of everybody. It's an equal opportunity. He makes fun of the left. He makes fun of Biden. He makes fun of Trump.
It's like the old jib jab video. With,
yeah, it's
W and who do you run?
Al Gore? John Kerry.
Oh, John Kerry. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
three Purple Hearts.
Oh, man, I have missed jib jab. Those are good videos.
Did they go away?
I don't think they make.
They still have a website.
They just aren't as big.
No, well, that was back when the internet was fun, and now there's like a million different jib jabs, but all of them are meaner. But no, jib jab is awesome. But I still won three Purple Hearts.
Yeah, that's very, very funny.
Have more waffles than a house of pancakes. I mean, you offer flip-flops, I offer tax breaks. Yeah. That's a great line.
It's pretty good. Very, very good. All right, so there's that, and now we'll move on to other things. So,
Bronny, going to the Lakers.
That's another thing I feel strongly about.
Yeah, dude, LeBron's already sleeping with his new teammate's mom. That's crazy. I agree with you.
Try and get the guy to throw you the ball and sleep with his mom.
Like, come on.
Here's the other thing. I'm a big believer. We got into a debate about this, Louis. I'll be in the minority, which I am frequently. Mm-hmm. He should call him dad on the court or pop or whatever he calls him at home.
Really?
Yes. It's not LeBron or Bron. It's dad. I forget which coach it was. I don't remember who it was. Might have been my father. I think it was my father. Funny now that I say that. So maybe that's why I feel that strongly about it. You don't. The nut doesn't fall far from a tree, but I am a nut after all.
Indeed. What nut are you?
The guy
cashier.
Well, I don't remember if it was my brother Nick or my brother Jim. I think it was Jim. And he came to practice one day. Excuse me, I'm taking my important medication.
There you go. Down the hatch.
Thank you. He was at practice one day. My father was there, high school coach. And he said, Coach, what do I do here? And I don't remember. And my father answered the question. Then he got him aside later and he said, Hey, I'm not coach. I'm dad. I'm your father here. I'm your father at home. I was your father when you were born. I'll be your father for the rest of my life. I'm always dad. So just call me dad. And he called him dad from there on. Because it's silly. Call him coach. What do you think the other kids don't? Oh, wait. Is this your father? I thought it was strange that you both had the same last name. Oh, my God. I didn't know that. Wait a minute. Bronny, that's your dad? Really? Oh, my God. He's a good player, you know? Your dad's a good player. I mean, so call him dad. He probably won't, but that's what I'd do. Here's the other thing. I guess people always internalize stuff. Chances are there's somebody who read it and at work like here, you got a job and you're my son, but you do a very good job. And I don't
Nepo
mean to be,
baby.
I don't mean to be rude, but we didn't pick you out of 50 applicants.
No, that's the thing. I always bring this up. I was like, we make the Nepo baby jokes. And yeah, there is a certain element in nepotism, like, you know, getting to work with you and everything like that. But at the same time, I got hired. You know, I got hired
because you walked in
because
one day.
Moon Mullins was going to become a horseshoer.
Yes.
And we needed somebody. And I was there. Oh. And I was next in line because I've been running Reds games.
Well,
for a year.
I like the kid, so don't get me wrong if you happen to be listening, Sully. But this is how we used to hire. Nick started working here, and Sully got wind of it, and he had worked as a reporter for a while. He
was with like CJ.
That didn't work out for him. So he just showed up one day. I'll never forget it. He just showed up with you one day. It was like the George Costanza thing. He just showed up one day, and then he showed up the next day, and then the third day, I'm like, "Boy, is he still here?" And I said, "Oh, he's working here."
Yeah, before you knew it, he was producing Mike Pratt's show.
Yeah, he was here, and I was like, "How? What was the qualifications?" Well, he was here. I will tell you this, and don't, before anybody
and
mocks,
he did a good job.
Before anybody mocks us, there was a guy named Chris Ramsey who used to be the news director at the CBS affiliate here, and he went to ESPN. And he became one of the producers for SportsCenter. He put me on SportsCenter a couple times, which was a great thrill. It was great fun. And then he moved over to the ESPN.com had page two, I think, for a while.
Something like that, yeah.
He was in charge of that. I don't know what evolved after that, but really talented guy and a really nice guy. And I was trying to figure out. I really didn't like living there, you know that. And I wanted to come back here. And he said, I understand that, but let me. I said, well, what's the pros and cons? He said, well, I can only tell you this. You'd be surprised, but like how they work. And I said, in what way? He said, well, like, suppose somebody comes up with a great idea for a new college basketball show. And they say, okay, well, what kind of format? When do we put it on? How long will it be? They'll debate it. They'll talk about it for hours. Should it be every day, twice a week, three times a week, evenings, daytimes? Should we run it again? Should we run on the douche? Should we run? They'll talk it ad nauseum. They'll finally, after 8 hours of debate, say, okay, so we got it straight. We're going to do it these days, this long. Here's the format. Here's what we'll do. Here's who's going to produce it. Here's this. Here's that. And then somebody will say, oh, by the way, who's going to host it? And they'll go, how about him?
Just look down the hallway?
Yeah. Say, he can do it. He's good. I don't know. I've seen him. He's good. That, and he said, if you're not here, you can't be the, how about him? So that's, and he was right about that. And so that's what I mean. So it's not just us. The criticism from some circles have come that the executives thought they were really the stars and they only tolerated the talent. There's some debate about that. That's one of the reasons that Olbermann and Patrick, when they left or pushed out or whatever, they didn't go out of their way to make the new hosts stars because those guys superseded the brand. In their mind, the brand was SportsCenter,
right.
Not Dan Patrick and not Keith Olbermann. And that led to some – that's why some people wouldn't work there. They were like – they were much too concerned about – they almost thought the talent was so expendable. It's one of the reasons Barkley didn't go there. Barkley signed with TNT because he said I talked to them and he said they were going to treat me like, you know, as a first year guy at a college. You know, you got to do the morning show, you got to do Sports Center, you got to work 5 nights a week,
you got to get coffee.
It's like
got to
be crazy. I'm doing this as a sideline. I mean, you know, I don't want to work that hard. He was honest,
yeah.
But that's how they perceived it because the star was the four letters, and it's served them well over the years. I can't argue it, but I'm just saying. So that is. How we did it here. So it's not a crime.
Have they gotten away from
you
that?
Were just here. No.
No, ESPN?
Got away from what?
Gotten away from the...
Well, who have they made a star? Who's a star?
Stephen A., Pat McAfee.
That's
they threw
different.
The bag
that's
at them.
That's different. That is... Well, you know, no, I didn't want to get into inside baseball, but that's why Norby Williamson and McAfee got into it, because Norby is of the old thought that nobody's bigger than the network. And McAfee is the new breed of, I'm a bad... mother trucker, and this is how I do it, and if you don't like it, get the hell out of the way. And they had a power struggle, and Norby was pushed out. And so the star was SportsCenter. The emphasis now has gone on to these daytime talking head shows.
Right.
And Norby's more of a, you know, they were supposed to be reporting source rather than a, you know, spinning plates.
Opinionated, right, yeah.
So that's what that's all about. But yes, you're right. It has made a shift, and he wasn't that comfortable with it. Anyway, that's only a very small sliver. There's a lot more elements to that. But so when that happened with you here, that's not, you know, we don't have a personnel office. We don't have an HR office. We don't have an office. I mean, you know, what happens when somebody calls the station, by the way? Does anybody even know?
I'm not sure.
No, but look at a guy, three faces looking at me like deers in the headlights. Nobody knows.
Hey, what do you mean? Like,
well, we have
call
a number.
That phone?
No, that the, oh. the, not the phone for the show.
No, well, a lot of times people are, when they're trying to call and get a hold of someone, they call in
the amount
call
of times
number.
I've like answered, like, yeah, I'm Karen with blah, 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 internet. And I'm like, I'm the worst person.
There must
person
be on our website, there has to be a number, yeah. right?
I might just go to like Ken or like.
Yeah, it might go to Ken. It might go to our GM.
Or Barbie. Oh, no. That's not
different.
Hi, Cam. Jump
one
in.
One of the five most beautiful women of all time.
Margot Robbie.
On my list.
Margot Robbie's an attractive lady.
Absolutely stunning. Stunning, stunning. All right.
Would you vote for her if she ran? Oh, she can't run. She's from Australia.
I'd naturalize her.
Guys, we can get past the laws.
She'd be worth
She's
it.
She's our vote.
Yeah. I'd storm the Capitol for Margot Robbie.
Oh, God. Just walking in with, dressed in pink with giant posters by yourself. Who is this knucklehead? He says, oh, he's storming the castle or something. Barbie!
I am going to have a lot of fun tasing
Barbie!
That guy.
All right, take a break. ESPN 680, 105.7. And in Lexington, thanks to you for listening on Fast Break Friday, brought to you by... we didn't even get into the draft. We'll end the show by doing that part of it.
Ale 81, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926. They are teasing, by the way. They already have their like spring and early summer seasonals in stores right now. Kroger, right. While supplies last. Peach, my favorite soda ever. Blackberry, also very, very good. Both of them electric by themselves. Terrific mixers. But they're teasing a summer strawberry watermelon. A strawberry watermelon ale 8. That, if it's as good as peach and blackberry,
I'm going to sit outside Kroger all night and wait for delivery trucks and just see if I could catch it as it comes in.
I mean, because
you come in the next, guys, it fell off the truck. I got a case.
Just comes in all scuffed up. Dad, what are you doing? These are hot sodas, baby.
Pass them out. Break up the carton.
It reminds me of like that episode of Everybody Hates Chris where like Risky just gets everything. Have you guys ever watched that show?
It's a good show. Yeah. I've seen it a handful
and
of times.
And it's like the guy's name is Risky. He's like a known street seller and like he always has like the cheapest things. And it's like, where do you get that Risky? Oh, man, don't worry about it. It fell off the truck.
That's an Italian mom thing. Oh, my God.
Well, even our family, you know, delved into a little bit
of that. By the way, did you guys watch Bear? The Bear?
I watched episode one last night. It's a whirlwind episode.
Oh, yeah.
At first, I thought, I'm not going to lie, maybe I came in, I was tired. I had a bad night at the restaurant last night, so I was a little down.
Why?
It just was slow.
It's a slow start to the season. It's more of like a...
It's more about getting all the pieces in place, like setting up the chessboard.
I only saw episode one, and there was a tiny part of me, I was like... Halfway through the episode, I was like, they're trying too hard.
Did you get my text last night?
But by the end of it, I kind of got on board with. What did you send me?
John Cena makes a cameo in like episode three, and I was like, he looks skinnier though. And I was like, Is that John Cena?
John Cena's lost a lot of weight.
I can see him.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight. Yeah. He looks different than he did during his wrestling days.
All right.
So wait, how far
Tulio's
into
Tulio's been hounding us for a break. We're taking
you're
a break.
Four episodes in? Three
now
episodes in?
You guys
in?
Are talking about wrestling. So
three? No, three. No, we're talking about The Bear. Three episodes in.
Go out and get a drink.
I've only seen one. Have you watched it yet?
Nope.
You were too depressed after the...
First of all, I was tired for some reason yesterday. Because you got to remember, the day before, I'd been up since like 4 a.m.
Yeah, so right.
I was getting caught up on sleep. And then I turned it on about 8 minutes into the debate. And Biden was talking and I was physically shocked. I was dumbfounded that was the condition he was on television. He looked, feeble is putting it mildly. It was It was astounding.
I was. That was the only thing I was happy about. It just was
that he looked feeble.
No, it just was.
You're a sick, twisted little son of a gun, aren't you?
No, I was. It was.
I love watching feeble.
It was a slow night.
I go down to the senior center and I try and find the ones that are just barely able to get their breakfast.
It just was a slow night at the restaurant. You know, cancellations and everything. But I was happy that I was at the restaurant. I didn't have to watch that train wrick.
You should be grateful. All right, taking this break. Come hell or high water. ESPN 680 1057, and the folks listening on our network for Fast Break Friday.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by AL81.
Early, new holiday. Early, it's our drink of tomorrow.
Crisp, clean, L.A.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNB network.
Am I back yet? Am I back yet? Does he have to introduce me? We're back. What's your favorite, any hand signal in sport, any sport? What's your favorite official signal? The homeless guy likes blocking in basketball because that is pretty sick.
I like blocking,
guy runs
too.
Out and does that. Player like control blocking. Foul's nice, too. That's the hand behind the head. Not necessarily offensive foul. Offensive fouls, you just point the other way. But player control is when you put your hand behind your head. Boarding in hockey's cool.
Boarding.
Because you got to punch your hand.
Yeah, punch your hand. Tripping's like good.
Tripping is good. Clipping in football. But nobody ever calls clipping anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't call that anymore. Intentional grounding's pretty cool.
Oh, that's a good hand. One. I like, yeah.
The two-handed.
Or just the ejection. Safety. I like the ejection.
Baseball.
Get
there's
out
no
of
hand
here.
To that. Got to clap your hands when you
do. Safety is fun just because it doesn't happen that
that's
often.
What he said.
Yeah, I like safety. And there was a wrestling group, I think, in Ring of Honor called the Embassy. And they were bad guys. But the like that was their signal, like, you know, when they right before they were about to like splash the bad guy or hit him with a chair or something, they would all signal, like put a triangle over their head. And the first time I saw it, I was like, why are they all they do realize
are
that's a safety in
the,
football, right? Like
the penalty shot.
No, that's a good one too. X over the head. That's a good one.
Well, that's funny.
I got so confused when I ever got
what
my first
signal
penalty
has
shot.
More. Universal uses, like the rotating of the hands is charging in hockey, traveling in basketball, illegal motion in football.
That's probably the one for some reason.
And
then tripping and clipping is a
close,
similar one.
Very similar. Yeah. Tripping in football, I mean, you actually put one foot behind the other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The X for interference in hockey, I feel like that's used for a lot
of
things.
Yeah, the X.
Well, that used to be the intentional foul in basketball, the flagrant foul.
Right.
Do they still do that? I don't even know.
I don't know.
What else do they have? The fists somehow are always involved. Like
yeah, roughing.
Roughing in
roughing
hockey
is punching to the
straight
right.
Out.
I think it's to the right. I think it goes to the right.
I think so. All right, here's a discussion. Yesterday we had Mark Story on from Lexington Herald Leader, and he was talking about how he hoped that Antonio Reeves were able to get drafted because he really thinks he's a good player. I do too, by the way. But he thinks he's a – I don't know him at all, but he said he seemed like a hardworking kid and a good kid, and he did get drafted. So there was some action in the second round for the Kentucky players also. But most of the discussion were about two guys on night number two, and that was Kyle Filipowski and Bronny James. And Filipowski barely fell into the second round. He was projected. He might be a lottery pick last year, and now he comes out back and he winds up early in the second round. But I think he's got a chance to be a good player at the next level. But Bronny has elicited, and that's what started our discussion about nepotism just a segment ago, because that's what I said. People in their own lives, there's probably a lot of people who feel like, I got shafted at work because the boss hired his nephew, and I should have had that job. So they don't like when they see that. But, and I say this with tremendous respect to our listening audience, I don't think anybody listening, maybe I'm wrong, could be wrong, are the GOAT in whatever it is they do for a living. Like, if you're listening, I don't think you're the greatest of all time furniture salesman. Maybe you are. Could be. There's somebody out there who is. And if we're lucky enough to have them listening to the show, good on us. But I don't think that's true. So when you are the GOAT, or in the discussion of the GOAT, certainly people yelling, oh, what about Michael Jordan, you son of a, you know. But the fact is, you're in that discussion.
I can promise you Michael Jordan is not listening to this, though.
You don't think so? Well, today's Friday. He only listens Tuesday. He flies in just to listen. It's amazing. Well, you know, he's very wealthy.
He likes to gamble, and he's a big fan of the V-States.
Yeah, he's betting when we're going to get thrown off the air. Over under, I got two more weeks. I'm still going to win. I'm going doubling down on this. Why Michael's from Brooklyn?
I was just saying, everybody's from Brooklyn. MJ from North Carolina.
The fact of the matter is, the Lakers want LeBron. He's still one of the most productive players in the league. And it's not like they wasted a first-round pick on him. Second-round picks, even if it's only two rounds, the NBA is not the NFL. Second-round picks are complete crapshoots.
I made a joke to my buddy yesterday. It was Bronny after. Dad, I wanted to be picked in the first round. Shut up, son. Dalton Connect's better than you. I don't want to listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they get a really good player in the first round. And Bronny, hey, listen, the kid, we have Biancardi on, who's followed him since he's been like a middle schooler. He's got a tremendous upside. He's a dogged defender. You know he's going to be willing to do that. His shooting is coming along. And, oh, by the way, he had to come back mid-season from a heart issue, a cardiac incident, whatever you want to call it. Not that easy to do. So I think that it's worth taking a shot if you keep the old man happy, and it sounds like you will. And now, and I, you know, selfishly as a fan, I think it's very cool. Basketball is not the kind of game you get to play at the NBA level with your kid. You know, baseball, we've seen it. You know,
hockey, we saw it with the house.
Hockey, he almost played with his grandchildren.
His kids live next door to my dad growing up.
Speaking of this, by the way, this is only going to interest you, Nick, but it's such a shocker to me. I have to tell you.
Does it involve sandwiches?
No, but it involves another guy in our high school who mom dated before we ultimately got married.
Hey, what? You
know, we have a history. His son just got signed by the New York Rangers.
Hey!
Wait,
Bobby Mancini?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a great hockey player.
That guy's perfect for the Rangers, then. Bobby Mancini?
Well, that was his father. His father works for USA Hockey. His father was a good player and was the head coach of Michigan Tech and Lake Superior.
Good hockey.
Minnesota, I think. And his son played at Omaha, Nebraska, Omaha.
Yeah.
And just got drafted by the Rangers and got assigned to the Hartford Wolfpack.
Oh, good for him.
He's a defenseman.
What's his name?
Mancini, just like his dad.
No, but first name.
Vincent
Mancini.
Oh, he's perfect. Vinny Mancini here. You know, I'm going to be playing up in the garden, you know, with the Rangers.
So, did you ever think about that? Like, if your mother married him, maybe that'd be you signing with the Rangers? Could have been you.
Could have been me.
Yeah.
But oh, God.
Here you
are,
talking about sandwiches.
This is, okay, now, this is the thing.
I could have married the waitress at the Waffle House, and I'd be getting good deals on the
smother covered chunked and diced.
That's it.
No, see, here's the thing, though. I love mom. Mom's one of the best moms ever. She could be in the status of GOAT for moms. That's it.
Kathleen Brunesso has a lot to say about that. Hold on.
Oh, you guys are sweet.
That's it. I saw mom as a hockey parent playing at the AA youth level.
Oh, dear God.
Could you imagine her?
there'd be a poster of her, like, what was the tennis player? I forget her name. They had her father's picture at the entrance to all the WTA events, and they told all the ticket takers, don't let him in.
If I played...
Pierce? I think that was her name. I think it was Pierce, his father.
At Omaha.
Yeah.
She would be getting into fist fights with parents from Ferris State.
There'd be a picture at the border in Connecticut. Don't let this woman in the Hartford Civic Center.
XL Center now, actually. They changed it.
There you go.
As the stakes got higher, I could just... You know, I could see mom being a little bit more intense.
Although, I don't know. They may embrace her because
she tried to.
Because she would be the only one that would be harder on you than the coaches were.
No, that's a good point.
I mean, Jamie would play a baseball game and go 4 for 5, hit 2 doubles, a home run, and strike out the one at bat. And she'd say, what happened? What was wrong in that other at bat? Say, mom, I just went 4 for 5. I batted 800. I had 10 total bases, or 8 total bases. 9
total RBIs.
Bases. Like, I had 6 RBIs. Yeah, but what was about the other bat? You didn't even hit it. It's like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, she did allegedly one time I mean, she was defending Moon Mullins, myself, Sully, but she tried to fight an entire team of parents from West Virginia.
Oh, rock on, dude.
Oh no. My mom has
that's
has
awesome.
Big time alpha energy. She came I was in the locker room exhausted, you know, bleeding, beat up from the hockey game, untying my skates, and Moon's dad comes in, Big Moon comes in and goes, "Boys, took one on the chin." You know, an old Army guy. He was like, you know, "Hey, it's okay. You know, keep those heads up. Nick, by the way, your mom's fighting the other team."
But he did, right?
Yeah, he just
said, those West Virginia parents are no joke, too.
Oh, yeah, no, Aiden knows. Tough people. Aiden knows. They're, yeah, and so
we played against them a lot. They were not the nicest people in the world.
Mom was talking insane amounts of spit. I mean, I'm talking like, holy crap. Like, I can't believe you said that to these people. Like, and she was taking them all on. She was like, "I dare you to hit me. Go ahead. Take a swing." Like, she was going full on Brooklyn. Like, I mean, it was incredible. And then she comes back in. She goes, "Where the hell were all you? You are the parents. You just let me out there like I was taking on them all by myself." And she did so. I just remember Big Moon coming in. "Boys, tough game. Keep those heads up. Nick, your mom's fighting the other team." And I just like, I don't know what to do with that, Big Moon.
Texter says, and a good point, the Milwaukee Bucks keep Giannis's little brother on the roster, who's incredibly not good. I hate to be rude because he's a very nice guy, but remember Chris Smith here.
Yeah.
The Knicks put him on their roster because they had JR.
Right. And for the summer league, yeah.
But no, he played for their G League team. They put him a roster spot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was on the G League for a second.
So
yeah.
If you can do that, certainly LeBron could put his dog on the roster.
Well, I basically brought up the fact I was like, you know.
And now coming out, Air Bud. James.
I mean, Rummage brought this up over on Middays with Marcus Maben and basically said that, I mean, it wasn't a wasted second round pick because you're making LeBron happy. I mean, this could also, who's to say, give him a little extra pep in his step for a 38-year-old in the league, you know, giving him something to play for, that saying that the juice might be worth the squeeze. I mean, you weren't going to do that with the highest level of respect. Like, Trenton Flowers wasn't going to have that impact on LeBron James.
Oh, my God. They went late in the second round. He popped up as, like, one of the best available, and someone goes, "Trent Flowers, that sounds familiar." I go, "Yeah, no, he's enrolled for Louisville."
Yeah, for like 2 weeks.
And then he left like a week before the season. And they're like, "That was it." Yeah. And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Where did he end up going?" I was like, "Australia."
Well, it was interesting. We were talking about it. The whole Trenton Flowers, remember, I was like, "I'm a point guard." You know, you remember that statement when he left?
I came out and said, "I'm a suitcase."
Well, he was point guard for about 5 minutes in that Australian league.
I'm still a suitcase.
Got absolutely exposed.
Yes, of course.
But they were looking at it. AJ Johnson went in the first round. I forgot to who. Didn't exactly tear it up in the Australian league. Averaged like 2.7 points. Like a half a board, shot 33%.
Such a
Trenton
big,
Flowers averaged almost 6 points.
Yeah, they do like potential though.
Yeah, but
there was
like
a kid on UCLA that was like, he was like Bronny's teammate in high school. He didn't played very little minutes. Had like what you said, like 2.5 points, and he was like a late first round pick last year. I forgot his name, but it's like they all. It's if you're 18 or 19, like who cares about stats?
No, I mean, seriously, that must have been the case, because this A.J. Johnson didn't exactly tear it up statistically.
Well, Bronny,
Trenton Flowers didn't either, but doubled his stat line.
But Bronny, for example, had really good individual workouts that he worked out for the teams, and he was better than I think people thought he was.
Really? Yeah. That helped him?
No, oh, yeah. Didn't matter, though. I mean, he only worked out, I think, for the Lakers and one other team, and the Lakers were going to take him, and with good reason. It was just good business. That made sense. I'm looking forward to seeing him play.
No, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I
can't imagine
it.
The pressure.
Oh, God, yeah.
Whoa, that's going to be suffocating. Although, did you see, you know who's going to be good also? And this is a game you can't hide. You can't get drafted. You can't get put on a team. Tiger's kid can play.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie is like Charlie just Woods. Won this under 14 like state event in Florida or something. He hits it. Somebody, one of the guys there, and who knows, people say crap, said he had a drive 320 yards.
Jesus, it's a 14-year-old. Holy spit.
I think he's 14. Unbelievable. All
That's
right.
Impressive.
You know, you got to get out because the people in Lexington can't just let us go the whole day.
Yeah, so let's bid adieu to our friends at ESPN 1300 in Lexington. Shout out, you guys. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Get some AL8, peach and blackberry while supplies last.
A new kind of taste.
Stores like Kroger. Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926. Good stuff there. Keep an eye out for that new maybe strawberry watermelon they've been teasing about. Well, as we get out of here, part and shot, what do you...
The Lake County Captains, the high A affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians, have unveiled Roto-Rooter Toilet Row. There literally is a row of toilet seats. You watch the game sitting on a toilet seat. Tickets are $10 a toilet.
You don't you don't use the toilet, though.
I trust to God that... Some guy's not watching the game with his pants around his ankles.
Just taking a Reader's
Digest.
Speaking about families and in sports and the Guardians, did you know Josh Naylor's brother Bo is on the Guardians? I was going to bet on their game last night, and I was looking and I was like, oh, I'll take Josh Naylor to get two total bases or something, because he hits and he's top of the order. So I'm looking and I'm like, hey, when did he change his name to Bo? Because that's all it popped up was Bo Naylor.
And it's his brother.
And it's Bo. And then I think he's got a little brother that's in the AAA or AA.
No, nice. So they're the Stalls of baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
Nice. Very impressive.
You know, our guy, Cody, I'm just saying before we go, Cody Brown, go to ESPN Bet and ESPN Bet and I'm just telling you. Baseball usually in people's minds is, oh, I'm not betting baseball. It's too hard. He has had...
Oh, he's on a heater.
The last 10 bets, he's hit 9 of them, and I think he's hit 6 in a row. And last night, I said on the air, I screwed his bet up. He said Trey Turner, 1.5, over 1.5 total bases.
Yeah.
He hit a double, covered that. And I parlayed it with an Aaron Judge home run, and the Yankees got walloped and Judge didn't hit one. But if I just played his stuff all week... Today's show coming to you from our new beach house in Belize.
Yeah. He's been on fire.
Oh, he has been en fuego-age. So for what that's worth. But go to ESPN Bet. It's don't we have a code? We had a code they used to be able to use. Is it V-Show? I think if you sign up, you can use V-Show and get, donuts or something. But very cool.
Aaron Dolan will send you a personalized message. Made that up. That will
not
happen.
We are ridiculously late.
I would sign up so quickly.
Sorry, folks in Lexington. The program director is there pulling his hair out.
Sean, our bad.
He's what are you guys? You ever going to shut up? You ever going to shut up? Right now, we're shutting up, Sean. See you guys next week. In Louisville, we're back with more ESPN Radio.